Good morning. Welcome to worship on this beautiful morning. Holy smokes, it doesn't get any nicer than this, does it? We live in heaven. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us
rejoice in it.
Yay, there we go. I just want to show off to the visitors today that we know our scriptures, right? Well, the Lord is good, and we have been blessed. And our choir's going to sing blessing after blessing, so that'll be nice. Oh, speaking of blessing, this is St. Francis of Assisi Day. He was the patron saint of pets, and we haven't done a pet blessing for a few years. So this afternoon, if you'd like your pet blessing, bring him over or bring her over to the fire pit, and we'll have just a short service of blessing. Is there something going on back here?
Fire pit.
Well, aren't... You're a Finlander, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's what's happening today. If you can't come today, next Saturday afternoon, we'll also have another blessing of our fellow sojourners, travelers that we call animals. Oh, notice the big, the fall comes, lutefisk, ham and potato sausage dinner. Sounds great, doesn't it?
No.
There is one thing that isn't in the bulletin. That is, I called them lucky draw tickets, but for the Christmas bazaar, everybody's been assigned some raffle tickets. So if you haven't picked yours up, make sure and go through the envelopes and pick yours up there, okay? And today we pass the blessing box around. For those of you who are visitors, if you've been blessed in any way, and I know I have, and you want to make a little extra gift to the Lord, thanking him, we use that money for local benevolence to help others down the road. So if the blessing box goes through and you'd like to help someone else and you've been blessed, that's what that's for. Everyone is invited to join us at the table of our Lord. He would want that invitation to be sent out to everybody. Let's begin with a word of prayer. My Lord, what a morning. You send your blessings continually to us. Some days we're really appreciative and our eyes and our hearts are open, and some days we're so withdrawn or involved in ourselves we can't see it. Today, Lord, as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns, as we hear your word, we pray that our hearts might be open to see and to experience your love and joy and peace and hope. Send your spirit as we worship, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 789. Let's rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess, steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our choir to sing their praises.
Thank you.
Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The reading is from Hebrews. Quoting from the Psalms, this passage from Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus, the one through whom God created everything and who sits at God's right hand, is also the one who experienced human sufferings and death in order to blaze the path of salvation for us. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made the purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Please read aloud where you see the bold print, and where you see the bold R, read the refrain, you crown us with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You, whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe in the danger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have set in their courses.
What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them? Human beings.
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor, you crown them.
You have made them rule with the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You crown us with glory and honor. Here ends the readings. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Let's get down from here without falling.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark. Jesus announced and enacted in history the new reality of God's surprising activity. These two stories demonstrate this new reality. Women and children are accepted and valued, not dismissed as inferior to adult men. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. The disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 825. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Young couple decided to wed as the big day approached. They grew apprehensive. Each one had a problem that they'd never shared with each other. The groom-to-be, overcoming his fear, decided to ask his father for advice. And so he said, "Dad, I'm deeply concerned about the success of my marriage. I love my fiancée very much, but you see, I have very smelly feet, and I'm afraid that my future wife will be put off by my smelly feet." "No problem," his dad said. "All you have to do is wash your feet as often as you possibly can and always wear socks, even to bed." Well, to him, this seemed like a workable solution, so he did that. Bride-to-be, overcoming her fear, decided to take her problem up with her mom. She says, "Mom, when I wake up in the morning, my breath is truly awful." And Mom tried to console her. "Honey, everyone has bad breath in the morning." "No, you don't understand. My morning breath is so bad that I'm afraid that my new husband won't want to sleep in the same room with me. It's that bad." Mother thought and said, "Well, I'll try this. In the morning, get straight out of bed, go into the bathroom, brush your teeth. The key is not to say a word. Just go silently and brush your teeth and don't say a word to your husband." Well, she thought it was certainly worth a try, so that's what they did. Marriage comes, happy day, beautiful ceremony, not forgetting the advice they'd gotten from their parents. For 6 months, they were happy, you know. About 6 months later, the new groom woke up and one of his socks was off. And he starts scrambling around looking for that sock. And his wife woke up and said, "What on earth are you doing?" And he said, "Oh my goodness, you swallowed my sock." I know. It's bad. Sorry. Sorry. Today, our lesson in the gospel talks about, this is a tough lesson, but it talks about husbands and wives loving each other and two becoming one. Wives, women in Jesus' day had no status. If someone wanted to divorce your wife, if she burnt your steak, if she's nagging a little too long, if she gained a little weight, a guy could just write a note and say, "I divorce you," and that would be it.
Women never did. They had no status, nothing to say about it. So women, Jesus in this is trying to level the playing field, okay? Women and men, all. He quotes from Genesis, goes back and takes the book of Genesis, how they, and, oh, let me go back. The Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus up. They're trying to get him to commit to one way or another. There's different rabbinic schools of thought. One rabbi said, absolutely no divorce unless a woman is unfaithful, commits adultery. Man, he can do it. No woman would ever divorce a man in those days. They got no status. The man provided home, shelter, food, took care of all of that. So women had no status. A man could divorce a woman only on adultery, one rabbi says. Another says, for any reason at all, you can. All you got to do is say, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, and you're done. And Jesus is saying, and they quote from the book of Moses. Jesus says, no, go back to Genesis. And he goes to the second chapter of Genesis, where Adam and Eve were there, how Adam was lonely, how God put Adam to sleep, took a rib out, and blew the breath of life into the woman, and Eve was born, okay? Most theologians, when they read that lesson, it's not just a rib. It's like in Jonah, they talk the rib of a boat. When a boat hits the waves, it's the whole boat that waves. So it's kind of like half of Adam became Eve, and the two became one. It's the whole business together. When you say your marriage vows, the two are one. I would never do anything to hurt myself. And my wife is part of myself, so we treat each other with respect and wholeness and happiness. That's what Jesus is saying there. And for these Jews who are trying to trick him into making a mistake, he's saying, women are you. You're part of, you become one. The two shall become one. Flesh, you're together in this. And the Pharisees thought they were so self-righteous. They thought we're better than others. And they would hold that over. Jesus basically is saying, we're all sinful. We all fall short. We all need the love of God. And children, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, had no status. They were the least on the totem pole in society at that time. So there's some children playing. The disciples are saying, get these kids out of here. They're just making a noise. Jesus says, let the children come to me. Unless you receive the kingdom of heaven like a child, you're never going to be a part of this. So Jesus lifts up children and says, they're important. They're very, very important. Let them come. In that society, no way. But Jesus says, everybody is a child of God. The point is, for the Pharisees who were so righteous, self-righteous, Jesus is saying, all fall short of the kingdom of God. In marriage, we all fall short. In treating each other, kids, we all fall short. We all sin. And we are all in need of God's love. And we're all in this together. He's teaching these Pharisees a lesson. In our psalm, and in our first lesson in Hebrews, there's a verse that caught my attention big time. The verse says that we were created a little lower than the angels. And so because we have been created a little lower than the angels, we're to be a shining light to the rest of the world. You have special gifts and talents. You have been called to better things. You are called to higher ways. And if you follow Jesus, he says, I'm the way. I'll show you the way. If you follow me teachings, you will be a little lower than the angels. Too often we drag ourselves around and worry about this and concern about this. And we can't do this. And we live in a spirit of defeat. Jesus says, you're created a little lower than the angels. Some of you haven't heard this story. Some of you have. When I was a kid, my older brother and my younger brother, my older brother was probably in eighth grade. I was in fifth grade. My younger brother was in third grade. My two brothers are kind of dumb. They got caught smoking, okay? And we'd been smoking for a few years. They get caught they were smoking in the garage, those dummies. Anyway, my dad got up there and sat us on the couch, waved his finger, and how terrible it is, and you're ruining your life, and you can't be heading this way. And they made us get all our cigarettes we had in the house. There were over 7 cartons. My brother says, good thing he didn't make us go out in the neighborhood. We had way more out there. Anyway, my mom's crying in the background. He's waving his finger and hollering and screaming. I had to make you smoke a big green cigar, he said. We had been smoking big green cigars the day before. And it was good. Anyway, my grandma had taken a shine to me for some reason. And I didn't see her for a few days. But a few days later, mom had talked to grandma and told her that the boys had been caught smoking. And read them the riot act, and they didn't know what was going to happen to the boys. And my grandma, when she saw me, she took me aside and said, Jimmy, 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 what are you doing to yourself? She was as white as she was tall. You can't be doing that. You're leading a life that'll only lead to destruction. It's going to lead you down the wrong paths. And I don't want that to happen because I love you and I want what's best for you. I says, Grandma, I'm only human. You're only human. You're only human, she says. I don't ever want to hear you say you're only human again. Don't you know you were born a little lower than the angels? That God has something special in mind for you? That God has really something good for you? But I don't ever want to hear you say you're only human. And that stuck in here and etched in my mind. And then I started crying, and she started crying, and she took me in her big arms. And I had to come up for air. But she loved me, and she cared for me, and she pounded this point home that we were born a little lower than the angels. And she reminded me that not only am I special, but you are also very, very special. No one has ever had the same thoughts that you've had. No one has ever had the same dreams or creativity or gifts or talents or experiences that you have, and no one will ever have that. And you are loved and created by God. Jesus welcomed little children, as Jesus reminded the men and women of the time to love and respect one another, he's reminding us today that you're special and you are gifted and you are blessed. And he wants to bring that home to you, okay? So I don't ever want to hear you say you're only human. Don't ever say that to me, because I'm going to remind you, you're born a little lower than the angels, and you're special. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our offertory hymn. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
congregation please rise? Let us join in the offertory prayer. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Made alive with Christ, with God in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Holy and loving God, through the cross of Christ, continue your redeeming and unifying work among your people. Show us how to live well with each other as one family. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen the bonds between humans and the animals who work with them, on farms, in households, and in emergency situations. Teach us to value all animals. Lord, in your mercy. Walk faithfully with those who find great joy in relationships and with those who experience the pain of broken relationships. Make the church a place where all people may come to know loving companionship. Lord, in your mercy. Lift up your children who are bent and broken in times of crisis or long periods of suffering. We especially remember in our prayers today Minnie Gilbert, Ron and Carol, Carol Bipes, Dean and Linda Newman, Bill and Sherry, be with my friend Mike, and be with those in our lives who need your healing touch. By your presence, restore their hope. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Guide and direct sisters and brothers in Christ who are engaged in specialized ministry for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We ask, O Lord, that you might comfort Ross and Joan Niskanen as they mourn the loss of Ross's mother. We pray, O Lord, that you might be with our families and friends, wherever they find themselves, keep them close and keep them in your loving care. We bless you for the lives of the saints, especially Francis of Assisi and Theodore, whom we commemorate today, through whom you have revealed your love for the world. Continue to reveal your covenant life through us until the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God, remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of Christ's Spirit present in our lives. Jesus, at his Last Supper, the night of the Passover, took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. This morning we will use intinction, so I will hand you the bread, or we will hand you the bread. Please dip it in the grape juice or the wine. If you are gluten intolerant, please let us know, and we have bread that's appropriate for you. Again, all are welcome at the table. Will the congregation please rise? Let us join in praying the prayer after communion on the bottom of page 6. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 543.